The investigation into the October 1999 crash of Egypt Air Flight 990 is still not complete, but writer William Longavisha, who's also a pilot, reports in the Atlantic Monthly that its conclusion is certain. Egypt Air 990 was taken down willfully by its Egyptian co-pilot. It was an act of mass murder. William Longavisha writes about the National Transportation Safety Board's road to that conclusion, a road full of obstacles strewn by the NTSB's ostensible partners in the probe, the crash investigators from Egypt. William Longavisha, you describe that U.S.-Egyptian partnership as reaching across one of the great divides between nations. What divide is that exactly?
The divide between people or societies or governments, cultures that can investigate an accident accurately and fairly, and that cannot do that.
You credit the American agency, the NTSB, as being awfully good at what it does, and remarkably good for a government agency, in fact.
The NTSB is a sort of a model of modern government. It is very technical. It has a small budget, and it doesn't even have regulatory power. Its only power is the power of persuasion, so that it attempts to find out what happened in the case of some accident, and then to report that openly, and then let things fall where they may.
The Egyptians, on the other hand, were given standing in this NTSB investigation. They sent a crew over to Washington, D.C. What culture of investigation did they represent?
It seemed to be about the opposite. The Egyptians were following an agenda which was imposed by a completely different perspective on the role of government and a very different societal organization.
How so? Their agenda was to show that this must have been a mechanical flaw in the plane, that it couldn't have been the actions of the co-pilot, Batuti, who was heard taking the plane down rather calmly on cockpit recordings?
It seems that from the very start of the investigation, the one thing that was unacceptable to the Egyptians was the idea that their man did this. I think that was seen as an embarrassment. Then on top of that, you have all of the resentments and the cultural luggage, ranging from a tendency to think in terms of conspiracies to a very tough history over the last, nearly 200 years of relationships with the West.
Well, describe a crunch point when it seemed pretty clear to American investigators that they were dealing with a human action causing this plane going down, and when the Egyptians simply refused to accept that.
The cockpit voice recorder was the oddest of them all, and what it recorded was a very calm co-pilot repeating in almost a monotone and a very low voice this statement. You really can't quite call it a prayer, but the statement basically translated as, "I rely on God." That's not normal for pilot talk in an airplane that's going out of control. On the other hand, there was the captain who had been absent from the airplane, from the cockpit rather, at the beginning of the dive, who came back magically, somehow got back into the cockpit, and his reactions were completely normal. Then there was further evidence. There was evidence from the flight data recorder that toward the bottom of the dive, the elevators back at the tail, the pitch control mechanisms had split, indicating a likely what's known as a force fight in the cockpit with the co-pilot perhaps pushing and the captain perhaps pulling. All of these things added up, and to the NTSB and to American investigators in general, just pointed to one thing.
And when it pointed to that one thing, what did the Egyptian investigators say?
No way, couldn't happen, can't happen. They said from very early on that there were two problems. One, that it was basically culturally impossible for the co-pilot Batuti to have done this. And two, that it was culturally impossible for the Americans to understand what had happened. They simply said that the Americans were participating in the standard prejudiced view of Muslims. Here's a guy from the Middle East. He says a prayer. He pushes the airplane out of control. He commits mass murder. Egypt Air's strongest argument was that something had gone wrong with the tail of the 767, the control mechanism. And it just, as much as Boeing and the NTSB pursued that line of thinking and at great expense, it just didn't work out that way.
Your article, I can imagine, would certainly be criticized by some Egyptian readers for being precisely what they say the NTSB would be. That is, that you're not sympathetic to the cultural concerns that they brought to the investigation. You're trying to understand what interpreters, translators tell you about what's happening in the cockpit reporter. How do you answer them?
First of all, I would say that I've spent many years in the Arab world and am sort of inherently sympathetic to the Arab culture, which is a culture I, in many ways, admire. I was perfectly willing to believe that the NTSB was jumping to conclusions. And I ultimately was in Cairo in order to pursue this question. Well, look, okay, please convince me, show me why it is that we Americans are making this mistake. But what I found when I got to Cairo was, first of all, that I was absolutely stonewalled by the Egyptian pilots who had invited me over. And it was the revelation that not only that they, in my opinion at least, did not believe what they were saying, but they didn't care that I knew it or that the Americans knew it, that the NTSB knew it. And it was very clearly stated to me by smart people, Egyptians within Cairo, that the truth is not what we're after here. What we're after is fulfilling the needs of this enormous, rigid, autocratic, bureaucratic system called the Egyptian government.
Well, William Longavisha, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Writer and pilot William Longavisha, whose article about the crash of Egypt Air Flight 990 appears in the November issue of the Atlantic Monthly. 217 people died in the crash on October 31st, 1999.